Straight Talk on WRHI is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, Manning Kimmel.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. My name is Manning Kimmel. The program is called Straight Talk. We do it every weekday afternoon, talking about Rock Hill, Fort Mill, Tekakee, the great county of York, and everything else up and down I-77. And we do it right here on WRHI, South Carolina's seven-time radio station of the year. Our broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. My thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, as is highspeedweb.net. It streams our signal 24/7, 365. The Commander-in-Chief, Paul Basham, CEO of York Electric Cooperative, is with us today. And it's such a privilege to have him here. He's a hard man to get scheduled. They're working you too hard up there, buddy.
Oh, no. I'm just glad to have a job, and I'm glad to be with you, Manny. You're my hero.
Here we go. It's getting deep already.
You got your boots on, right?
I got my boots on, and they're high boots as well. Okay, we've had so many new people move into this community since you and I were last on the air. Tell everybody a little bit about your background.
My background, grew up in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina.
Ah.
Went to Clemson, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
And half the people out there cheering and half are booing, I understand.
That's might want to say national championship.
Yes.
Clemson Tigers.
Well, you know, Carolina's national championship in baseball.
That's
so,
exactly
yeah,
right.
Give them credit.
Right.
Grew up Mount Pleasant, graduated from Clemson, been at York Electric since 1989. Wow.
Ooh, yeah.
You look the same as you did back then. You still have a face for radio.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
And Hurricane Hugo came right in behind me. I got here in July, and it came in September. And I've been at York Electric ever since, which is kind of odd for somebody to stay at one place that long, but yeah. I'm just glad to be there.
Well, they made you the big boss.
Nah, I just get to work for all these people. That's the way I look at it.
I get you. So the co-op, for those who have no idea what a co-op might even be, you're one of, what, 20-some co-ops in the state?
20 electric co-ops in South Carolina, yes.
And they were originally set up eons ago to provide electricity to rural areas of the state.
A lot of places where the big power companies, it wasn't profitable for them to provide power. So co-ops were formed by FDR to provide power to the rural parts of the country.
And your territory, it's hard to explain your territory, but your territory is a little bit of everything, is it not?
Yeah, across four counties,
right.
York, Chester, Cherokee, and Lancaster County. Predominantly, most of our members are in York County.
And you serve how many customers or however you do it?
We're getting close to 62,000 meters right now. That's a mix of industrial, schools, commercial, grocery stores, but most, about 72% of that is houses.
And you employ, what, well over 100 people, don't
you?
Yeah,
we have about 110 people on payroll, and we've got another 60 or 70 contractors that help out. So, yeah, getting close to 200 paychecks effective.
So co-ops don't generate their own power.
Right.
You buy the power.
Right. Some co-ops do. In South Carolina, we buy it from Duke Power and from Santee Cooper, and we distribute it to our members. And the cool thing about a co-op is, we don't have stockholders to pay, so we can do it at cost, and any money we make beyond that, we give back to our customers every May. Like this year, we're getting ready to write checks for $1.5 million to send back to our customers.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, you are.
With the way gas prices are going, I might be able to get myself a full tank of gas for that big old Suburban.
There you go.
But that is something that you do, which
yes.
is very interesting. It's very much like a credit union. I mean, that's exactly what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, a lot of our attention here recently in the state of South Carolina has all been about the demise of the VC Summer power plant proposal construction project that was a $9 billion mess.
Right.
Part of it a mess for the state of South Carolina, part of it a mess for a private entity known as SCE&G.
Mm-hmm.
So you were most concerned, I imagine, as a co-op, one of the members of the co-op community in South Carolina, with what was going on with the state-owned utility, which is Santee Cooper.
Right.
Take me back. I mean, when did you all realize that this was something that might might not work out the way everybody hoped it was going to work out.
Can I take you back a little further?
Please.
Okay, so Sandy Cooper started back in, I guess, the 30s because they needed to generate power to build ships at the Charleston Naval Shipyard. And then the co-ops needed power, so they kind of put a partnership together, which has been together for decades, obviously, and has worked real well. I mean, there's been ups and downs in any relationship, but kind of what's happened in the last, 10 or so years is Santa Cooper really wanted to build this nuclear plant and be a part of it, and the co-ops are like, well, you know, we see a need, but we don't think you should have as much part of it, maybe just buy a little tiny slither. But Santa Cooper at times said we want to be a 45% owner of it. And so that progressed, and then we hit, this July would be 2 years that they pulled a plug on building that nuclear plant. And so then that kind of took us down the road of SCNG getting sold to Dominion, and that's gone through, and that's happened. So now we're in a situation where Santa Cooper has a whole lot of debt and a part of a nuclear plant that's not going to produce power anytime soon, may not ever. And people have to pay for that debt. And so we're trying to find a way to protect the members of the co-op and the customers of Santee Cooper and the state of South Carolina to navigate out of this.
Let's go back a little further. The reason Santee Cooper got into this concept of partnering with SCNG for a nuclear power plant was we were growing so rapidly as a state. The question is, how are we going to meet the future generation needs of the state?
Oh, definitely. If you go back 12 years ago, the average consumer, electric consumer, it was going up about 8%, 10% a year. Every year, people are using more and more electricity. Well, what's happened now is it's gone the other way. The average consumer house uses less. Everything's more efficient, which is good. And so the need for electricity is not as growing as fast as it once was.
Well, and the other big thing that I guess kicked it in the knees was fracking. I mean,
of course,
this whole business of being able to have several lifetimes mm-hmm. worth of natural gas has changed the dynamics for everybody. I mean, even Duke Energy is converting its coal plants to natural gas.
You know, I'll take you back. Remember Katrina?
Oh yeah,
and
absolutely.
Natural gas prices went to, and I'm going to get the term right, but I think it's a decatherm. It went to like $16 to $18. And now you can buy gas for $3 a decatherm. Think about that magnitude of how much it went up and then it's come back down. So the folks who started working on a nuclear plant were doing the right thing. They needed it. But the whole world's changed since then.
So Santee Cooper buys a 45% interest in what ended up being a $9 billion or more plant.
Yeah.
That never came into fruition. The co-ops, while you encouraged Santee Cooper to take a much smaller position, were you all on the line for that 45%? I mean, did you have to sign on to that?
Well, we're not on line. We're not holding any debt for this at
all.
Right. But we are a customer of Santee Cooper, and because we buy power at the cost for them to produce it, then we're kind of tied into being responsible for it, even though we're not a debt holder.
Okay. So what happened over the period of years as the costs were developed for building this plant and they grew some more, that was passed on to all the people who are buying power?
That's correct.
All right. Now, this is what is amazing to me, and I guess I have to pat you on the back.
Don't pat me.
Well, I'll pat whoever. Whatever these charges, these additional charges that were passed on to York Electric Co-op, over, I don't know what period of time, five, six, 7 years, 8 years?
Eight or nine years.
Had to be over 9 years, millions of dollars?
It probably would be, yeah. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it gets, every year it got a little more and more.
Gotcha. The normal, how would I say this? It would not be abnormal for that to be prorated over your customer base and passed on to your customers.
Correct.
But you didn't do that.
No, sir.
Okay, explain.
Well, we've been blessed at York with great employees and a great board that have done some good choices over the years, and we've not had to pass any of those costs along. We've not actually had a rate increase in 9 years, which is, I think, is wonderful, and it's great that we can keep that money in the pockets of our members. And the and maybe I shouldn't say it's a radio, but I don't think we'll need one to have one in the near future. I think we're going to continue to be able to operate efficiently and absorb costs. You know, everything gets more expensive, you know that. But because we're growing and making good choices, I think we can avoid having a rate increase for a while.
Well, and you also alluded just a few minutes ago to the fact that the cost of producing energy is much less now, mm-hmm. simply because of the fuels that are being used to do it.
Right.
All right. Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Sure.
Santee Cooper is still unresolved, but the role of the co-ops in what? Convincing the legislature to go with one vendor or another vendor is very real because you all are the big customer base.
We are. The thing that these companies that want to buy Santee Cooper want to get is they want to have our electric load. It's a huge electric load for the 20 co-ops across South Carolina. So that's a big plum that they're after. And that's really what it's all about. So our goal is to, and then it sounds corny, Manning, but really we want to do what's best for the guy at the end of the line. If selling Santee Cooper is best, then we're going to fight for that with everything we got. If not, then we're going to try to block it. We want to do what's best. But right now it looks like the best thing to happen is the sale of Santee Cooper. And there's so many benefits that look like will come from that. And what we want to encourage the legislature to do is to move forward with basically getting some proposals and let's vetting, see what's out there and do what's best for the member.
In fact, there are so many advantages from your perspective for the state to sell this thing that you actually took the time to list them so we wouldn't miss any of them.
I did. I said I didn't want to miss the opportunity to share, but yeah, there is.
Go through the list.
Okay. First of all, for the co-op customers, we'd be looking at a reduction of rates between 2 and 15%, and that's huge. Second of all, for the state of South Carolina, the bonds would be paid off, so there's no perceived credit issue for the state of South Carolina. Then you've got all the Santee Cooper customers, which are industries. All, if you go to Myrtle Beach, all the Santee Cooper customers there, all on that area. So they would see a rate reduction. And then the environment will be improved because there would be at least one coal power plant that would be shut down. That's going to help the environment. Then you got the bondholders. Some of them live right here in your listening area who bought bonds of Santee Cooper that would not lose money. They're going to get it paid in full. And then you got economic development. If you lower electric rates, we can lure better paying jobs to our area and create more jobs. But there's also one other factor, Manning, is fairness. A lot of folks may not realize this, but the state legislature reduced the SCNG customer rates by 17% and had Dominion take that hit when they bought the SCNG. But the Santee Cooper and the co-op customers never got that reduction. So it's only fair if they got a reduction from the state, then everybody else should too. So I think it's a pretty good case.
But isn't it true that the SCENG customers will also have that bonded indebtedness to carry through for a number of years? They were not able to escape that.
They will have some, but I think Dominion's going to write off some of that debt, and because of tax laws, we'll have to carry all that debt. So there's some benefit there for a profit-seeking company like Dominion.
So all in all, this is all turning out much better than people thought in terms of how's the state of South Carolina going to deal with a $9 billion issue. I mean, this is huge. Mm-hmm. All right, so bring me up to speed. Where are we now? And the last time I heard, the legislature had, or the state had, I don't know, a dozen different vendors who wanted to buy Santee Cooper.
Correct.
And then there was a debate about, well, all right, well, we need to hire this outside consultant, pay them millions of dollars to vet these proposals. And some people said, well, why do we have to do that? That's just wasting money. Can't we get people within the state or co-op execs like yourself to do that? Where is that?
Well, they formed a committee that was made up of House and Senate members. And that committee hired ICF, that's the vendor you're talking about. And they got non-binding proposals from 12 companies. And of those 12, four of those companies said they will pay off the full debt and reduce rates for everybody. So those are kind of like your four finalists. So now we're waiting on the State House to determine how they want to do it. The Senate has a plan, the House has a plan, and they need to kind of come together and kind of put a framework on how they want to vet all this out. And can I give a shout out real quick?
Please do.
The York County delegation has been fantastic. They've been patient. They've been in tune with the facts. They've asked good questions and have been very, very supportive of the folks out there that our co-op and Santee Cooper customers and members. So just a quick shout-out for that whole group.
Is it possible that the learned legislature will get all this done? It isn't going to happen this legislative session, is it?
No, we hope that we can get the process going good sometime this year, hopefully.
Right. Yeah.
But then what will have to happen is these four companies will have to put like a sealed bid in and have to come back and say how they're going to take care of the debt, how they're going to reduce rates. And then at that point, then the co-ops will negotiate with them on transferring the load over to them and hopefully bring back to the State House a good deal that everybody wins from. That's so perfect.
All right, so this is going to take a while to do all this.
Sure.
So maybe by this time next year?
I would hope. Yeah. I would hope that would be great.
So when this is all done, let's just use the example of York Electric Co-op. You would have to sit down with whoever the new owner of Santee Cooper is and say, okay, here's our contract that we used to have with Santee Cooper. Now we want to renegotiate with you being the new entity. I mean, how does that work?
It's a little easier than that because we have a group called Central that all 20 co-ops kind of sit on the board of, and they aggregate all the power needs for the 20 co-ops, and they're the ones that negotiate with Santee Cooper and Duke and put all that together. So, you know, our voice will be heard among other 20 co-ops of what we need to put in that contract, and then the folks at Central will negotiate that together with the new buyer.
But it's fair to say that if the co-ops together don't like deal number one, the deal number one is going to be dead because the state of South Carolina has too much at risk by not having the co-ops satisfied with whatever this new ownership is going to be.
Right, because we're going to be the end customer of this new owner, so we got to make sure the deal's fair for everybody.
Yeah, didn't you say the co-ops collectively are taking about 75% of the power?
Right now, 75% of the co-op power across the state comes from Santee Cooper, and 25% comes from Duke Power.
Okay, all right. Whew. All right, well, we're way over our mid-program break, and we want to remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, right before your eyes. And there's only one way we do it here at Substation 2, and it is
slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Come on, Clemson guy. You got to get a little bit louder than that. Back after these words.
News and information that matters to you. This is Straight Talk.
Hectic schedule? In a rush? Now you can order your favorite Substation 2 sub or salad online and skip the line. Just go to mysubstationii.com, click on the online order tab, place your order, and come and get it. That's mysubstationii.com. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Good Pharmacy, with a modern look and traditional standards.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. All six of our pharmacists love serving you and your children. Ask us about alternatives for your child's medicine.
My mommy loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Ready to purchase a home, refinance your current mortgage, or need a home equity line of credit? Look no further than Founders Federal Credit Union. Founders is having a great mortgage and home equity line of credit promotion until April 30th. Don't miss your chance to apply online at foundersfcu.com/mortgage or at one of our convenient locations where a qualified mortgage loan officer will help you through the application process. Services require credit evaluation. Terms and conditions apply. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA and is an equal housing lender.
Hungry but can't get out? DoorDash now delivers Substation 2 subs and salads 7 days a week. Just go online to mysubstationii.com and click on the DoorDash delivery tab and your order will be on its way. That's mysubstationii.com. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Jerry Loder across from Winthrop. Paul Basher, CEO of York Electric Cooperative, is with us today. And if you missed the first two-thirds of the program, go back and listen to it online at WRHI.com, because it was a very simple, understandable explanation of everything they've been going through for the last year and a half, trying to get everything resolved with Santa Cuba. But it is a process, a very involved process, when you're talking about that much money and that much impact on the power supplier for the co-ops across the state. I mean, that's a big deal. So meanwhile, back at the ranch, while all this is going on, who's running Santee Cooper?
They have a board that the governor appoints, and they have a CEO, and they have a management team.
And they got a new board chairman, do they not?
Yes.
As a result of all of this. The thing that I don't understand about all of this, and maybe you do,
probably not,
is how could the, what do we call it, board of directors for Santee Cooper miss what was going on at the VC Summer Project? I mean, the red lights apparently were everywhere. I mean, even with Westinghouse about to go bankrupt, I mean, my gosh, how did they miss that?
I'm not going to throw any stones at all. I don't know. I know I went on a tour of the plant one day, and I've been there a couple times, and after the tour, I went back to the CEO, Santee Cooper, and said, it don't look like anything's getting done. But their comments always were, trust us, it's going to be okay. And we'll just leave it at that.
Trust but verified. Okay.
There you go.
Anything that can be reused from that plant that you know?
Yes, there's some stuff. Right now, this is a good point to mention. Georgia Power, who's building the same identical plant, is continuing. And the latest price tag we heard was close to maybe $30 billion. So this thing started off at $6
billion.
It went to 9, then to 13, and that was about where the plug got pulled for South Carolina. But now the numbers are $25 to $30 billion, but Georgia Power is going to build it. So
you know what,
they're wanting to buy some of the leftovers, which is good, and go over there. They're still working out those details.
The irony of all of this is, and I don't know which administration it was in Washington, but the claim was years ago, we want to make the process of building new nuclear plants easier.
Right.
It's too long. It's too complicated. It's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And exactly the opposite has happened. I mean,
right.
it's as convoluted now as it's ever been. I mean, even Duke Energy up here pulled the plug after
Right.
they got the license, after
mm-hmm.
they got the license mm-hmm. for the new Lee nuclear plant on the Broad River up here. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
But the world's changed.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, back in the 70s, we wanted to be energy independent. Look at us now. I mean, I think we're getting ready to export, or if not already, natural gas and oil.
Yeah.
When you were a kid, how many years ago was that?
Just a few.
Never mind. So you never thought that would happen.
I tell you what, here's a good trivia quiz. I want you to see if you can remember how low the price of gas was when you were first driving.
50-something cents.
See, I can go down to 38 cents.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you know, I had a growing up in Charleston, I had a little 9.9 Evinrude boat that leaked before I had a car, and my dad would drop me off and let me go fishing and pick me up after work. So I was more about boat gas than car gas.
All right. Well, enough of Santee Cooper. Let's talk about the co-op. You all have, I mean, do you get concerned when you hear about all the growth that is coming our way? I mean, growth is great. It allows
sure.
everybody to sell more product, whatever. Mm-hmm. But keeping up with it, which is what you have to do, I mean, you somehow have to figure out, I guess, where this growth is going to be coming, so
Correct.
You'll have power and lines there ready to go.
I will say this. We have very, very good employees at the co-op, and I give them all the credit. They do a great job planning ahead. And so far, we've been able to keep up with it. And it's, you know, been some probably a few sleepless nights out there, but we've been able to keep up with it, and we feel like we're ready to continue to keep up with it.
And the power needed to meet this future demand will be enough from your current sources, including Santee?
Yes, we feel really good about that. Electric sales from 2017-18 went up 11%, which is phenomenal. And that's just a lot of had to do with the growth, a little bit because we had a very cold winter, if you remember, early part of 18. But we had so much growth of new houses, apartments, and businesses that was a lot of it. But 11% growth is phenomenal for a power company.
But I go back to one of the original reasons for the planning for the Lee nuclear plant up here.
Right.
Now, all that was being done well before the economic catastrophe of 2008.
Right.
And we all know the, how horrible that was. We are certainly coming well, we're way back now. The economy is as robust as ever. But you still, I mean, you all in the power industry think the existing generating that we have is going to be enough for the next 10, 15, 20 years?
Right now, we feel like we got enough for 6 to 8 years at least. And we're really going to see where we want to go next. Probably the next power plant's built will be probably a natural gas type smaller plant, which you can build fairly quickly and fairly economically. So that's probably your next power plants to be built. But right now, we have enough capacity. Well, keep in mind, too, you have a lot of solar being built out there, and that's helping. So well, that's helping offset some of this, like taking a coal plant offline.
But my understanding of solar, and you all are into solar, you've got several
solar farms
in place. What you get from a solar, I mean, you have to have a really big solar farm, huge,
right,
to really make a dent in what comes out of a power plant, correct?
Correct. But it does help. Now, you know, solar doesn't produce at night, but it does help out some. It's not the same as having a gas-fired generating facility, but there is benefit from solar, no doubt.
So how many farms do you have now?
We have two solar farms that are out there that members can buy into.
All right. And you're looking, planning for more?
We're looking at a third. The first one sold out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, that was quick. The third one, we have a little bit of capacity left in if people want to buy into it. It's just a neat opportunity for folks who want to have solar but don't want to put, you know, solar panels on their roof and don't want to make that big investment. You can get into solar for less than $500.
So that's one of the programs that York Electric Co-op has. I mean, for the residential homeowner,
correct.
If you want to get serious about this solar thing, call the co-op and they'll start the process.
Yeah, and so you basically, the solar farm, your share of the capacity to farm gets credited off your bill. And the folks who bought in the first one, we told them payback was probably 7 years. They've made it, I think, looking at a four-year payback, so it's been even better than they thought.
Really?
It's been great.
What about people who want to do the solar on their roof and all that kind of stuff? You all work with them on that?
Right. One thing we do is we have a gentleman who will meet with you and go over the numbers and make sure that you understand all the tax implications and everything, not to dissuade you, but to make sure that you're getting true numbers. And he's done that for probably about 200 of our members already, and that's another free service we provide to say, hey, the guy named Brent Clinton does a great job. He'll come out, meet with you, go over your numbers and say, yes, this is true, but maybe watch out for this, and then you can make your own decision from there.
What are you seeing in terms of the payback from a residential homeowner who wants to make an investment of thousands of dollars in something like this?
Manny, the big issue is how much tax liability that person has.
Yeah.
The average person may not have enough tax liability to make the payback that they're told. So, you know, we're seeing numbers between 10 to 25 years, and 25 years, that may not be the best thing to do. You know, 10 years may be, but you need to verify the numbers. That's what we encourage people to do.
All right. Well, Paul Basha, you're doing a yeoman's job at the co-op, as are all the team you have up there.
And you're doing a great job on the radio, too.
Well, aren't you nice? How's this guy Howie working out? Is he working out okay?
Oh, we love Mr. Howie. He does great. Me and him both have a face for radio.
Yeah, well, join the club. I'm the president of that one. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Happy Easter to you, Paul, and your family.
Happy Easter to you, too.
All right.
He has risen.
Yeah, he has. Sunday. Check it out to find out. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, we're going to give this Clemson guy one more chance to see if he can really get it out now. Just make like you're cheering Clemson, right? We prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2, and there's only one way to do it, and everybody's going to chime in right now. Let's go.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
That's better. All right. Happy Easter, everybody. We'll see you on the radio Monday. Bye.